Welcome to the Sports and Shit Podcast presented by Anchor. Your hosts each week are Maddie.
If you're a pyro, make it worth my while. You know, light yourself on fire and walk down the street.
And the multi-talented Smitty.
Hey, if we're going to eat balls, let's experiment with the sauces.
I mean, seriously.
If you like sports sprinkled in with a little bit of shit, then this podcast is for you. Now, here are your hosts, Maddie and Smitty.
It is episode 29 of the Sports and Shit Podcast presented by Anchor. It is a big episode. We have a special guest coming up a little bit later on. We'll be talking to Scott Schwartz, who played Flick on the classic Christmas movie, A Christmas Story. We'll talk about that great movie. And also he was in The Toy with Richard Pryor and Jackie Gleason. All sorts of good stuff coming up on this episode. Thanks for joining us today. I am Maddie, and I would like to bring in someone who's actually been able to complete every New Year's resolution he's ever had, Smitty.
Thank you.
Yeah, every single one. The only person ever to complete every resolution you've ever had.
You know how I do that?
How is that?
I don't make any.
You don't make any. So there it is. I'll tell you what, keep the expectations low and you will succeed.
Question. I will raise the bar. I don't set any expectations and then there's nothing to feel bad about.
No, there's no disappointment in your life.
No.
Because you're just keeping it on the down low, on the low down.
No doubt.
So there was a new study or a new study.
A poll. Study.
Poll. Survey, if you will. A company compiled a most popular Christmas movie by state list. And here are some of the entries. Massachusetts, The Muppet Christmas Carol is the most popular Christmas movie by state. Massachusetts had The Muppet Christmas
Carol. I call bullshit immediately.
I've never seen that nor heard of it, really.
I call bullshit immediately.
Immediately. Okay. You call bullshit on that one?
Yeah. Oops. What else you got?
Maine had It's a Wonderful Life, which, you know, it's...
All right, so Maine,
yeah,
for once, not absolutely screwing.
Right. I mean, Long John Silver's was a stretch, but this one is right on it, probably.
Yeah.
It's a lot of old people. They're probably watching It's a Wonderful Life.
I mean, that's a good Christmas movie.
It is. I mean, it's a classic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that.
How about Rhode Island? Edward Scissorhands. Is that a Christmas movie?
Isn't that Johnny Depp, like with the weird hair and like
and the scissor hands?
And the scissor hands.
I love how you describe it by the weird hair when he has scissors for hands.
How can that possibly?
I don't know. Connecticut?
What's more of a Christmas movie, Die Hard or Edward Scissorhands?
Boy, I don't know because I didn't think either one was. See, I don't even consider Home Alone a Christmas movie. I know people do, but...
Well, I mean, it is. I mean, it is a Christmas
movie. I guess it is.
It is. I mean, it's set at Christmas. It is. I mean, there's nativity scenes and...
Yeah.
And
little brats.
Be home for Christmas and all this.
Yeah.
I mean, that is.
That is.
And Die Hard's set at Christmas, but I mean, it came out in July.
Yeah, Home Alone was, New York? At Home Alone.
Home Alone. That's fine. You can say that.
Connecticut had Christmas in Connecticut. Is that a movie? I don't even know.
Is that a Hallmark movie?
It might be.
What is that?
Is that Lacey Chabert?
Lacey Chabert and...
Yeah. Candace Cameron.
Candace Cameron Bure. Lacey
yeah.
Chabert. And
but Edward
the rest
Scissorhands.
Of Party of Five.
California and Rhode Island both had Edward Scissorhands. Four Christmases was down. What's that? Tennessee? I don't know my map very well at all. Right above Florida there to the left. Is that Louisiana? Louisiana?
No.
I don't even know what that is.
That is Texas. That is Alabama.
That's Alabama?
That's Alabama and that's Mississippi. Okay. Or that's Mississippi and that's Alabama.
Okay, so four Christmases.
All right, so they have their shit together. Because four Christmases is tremendous.
Without a doubt.
I just recently saw that for the first time.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'll tell you. Funny.
It's really funny.
Like especially at the first 45 minutes. So
yeah, I mean it gets more like feel goody.
Yeah.
Towards the end. But the first 30, 45 minutes of that movie is hilarious.
It is. And it's
I put it up there with like long. I put it up there with some of the greatest comedy movies of all time.
Yeah.
Like the first chunk of that movie.
Yes.
Like I laughed out loud probably 5-6 times.
Classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
tremendous.
I would say the four Christmases, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, it's on my list.
It's on the list. It's not a Christmas movie, but it's a winter movie. I love Eight Below, the dog sled movie with Paul Walker. I love that movie. I watch it all every summer, every winter.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
That's a good movie. It's a feel-good, you know, dogs are dying, and it's sort of a sad movie, but it's good.
So speaking of Christmas Story, that's one Christmas of my favorites. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I love it. Scotty Schwartz on it, and that's tremendous.
As Fleck, he stuck his tongue on the pole.
Tremendous. That's a holiday classic for sure.
You know what else is a holiday classic is eating raw beef sandwiches. The state of Wisconsin is urging people to stop eating raw beef sandwiches.
That's a classic.
It's classically stupid. I'll tell you that. My dad, like if he was making hamburgers like from the ground beef, he might take like a little bit and like eat it, which I thought was disgusting. But I mean, I like medium rare meat or whatever, but it has to be cooked some. Like raw beef, I'm just not sure.
Do you like medium rare, really?
I do like medium rare. I like it a little, you know, I like it pink, even a little bloody if it's like filet mignon. I like that. I think there's good flavor to that. I mean, I know it's risky and all that, a little dangerous.
I like most of my meat medium.
Okay, medium size or medium?
Definitely size.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, definitely you don't want to get too big. Yeah,
I'm mostly medium, and I feel like I usually order it medium well in restaurants because I feel like they tend to undercook things.
They do.
I usually order it cooked a little more, and I end up getting closer to medium.
Because medium, they'll go pink a lot.
Right. I like it warm pink. I don't like cold pink. Like medium rare is supposedly cold pink.
Yeah.
Yeah. No thanks. Yeah, cook it.
Cook the meat.
Cook it.
Yeah. Cook that meat. A company is offering football fans a chance to win $500 while eating and watching football. I'll tell you, if this isn't something, a job that's up our alley, it's this one right here. There's a company out there that's just offering football fans, Pickwise, it's called, sports betting site, is offering three fans a chance to become the company's NFL game day guru. Lucky winners will get $500 in cash, get $100 worth of food delivery vouchers, and a chance to pick a chair of their choice that they get to keep, all delivered to their door.
Do you have to like write an essay or some shit like that? Because let me throw this out. Fucking hate those contests where they're like, oh, no purchase necessary, but tell us why you should be the super fan of the world.
Right.
No. Just make me the super fan of the world. I don't want to do any work for us.
Right. Because I know I'm not going to be creative enough to come up with some sappy story.
I'm not painting my fucking belly. No, I'm not doing any of that crap. No. I like the team. I watch the games. That should be enough. I shouldn't have to write a fucking, you know, book report.
Reports suck.
They do.
Especially suck when you're 48. Like, I don't want to write a book report.
Why am I writing a book report? I'm supposed to be watching sports.
You know what? I don't need.
I should just be able to have two eyes and see the TV.
I'm just gonna give up the chance to win the $500 because I don't want to write a book report. If it was $5 million, I might sit down and write 600 words. A guy paid UFC announcer Bruce Buffer. This guy must be Michael Buffer's brother, is he?
Yeah.
Bruce Buffer, is he really?
Yeah.
They're brothers.
They're related.
Who are both announcers.
One of them did it first, and then the other one's like, oh.
Yeah, I got
a similar voice to him. I should do it too.
So we paid this guy, Bruce Buffer, who's a new UFC announcer, $299 to help him break up with his girlfriend. So he basically announced the breakup. I don't know what's worse, breaking up through text, you know, breaking up over the phone, or having some asshole announce it like it's a UFC fight.
It was basically like, Becky, it's time for you to get the fuck out. You know, like, wow. I mean,
you could have done that for $125.
I would have done it for like 99.
You would have done it for 99. You know. Yeah, take 200.
I mean, I could do the whole, let's get ready to rumble. I mean, I've got that. Becky. Get the fuck out!
Cops in Belgium broke up a birthday orgy. It was a $300 buy-in to go in and have an orgy with 60 people.
So here's what I say. I take my 300.
Okay.
You take your 300.
Okay.
We take that 600 and we buy our podcaster pro that we need to advance the podcast.
Right.
And we save ourselves, you know, all of the diseases.
All of the juice, the various juices. Yes, 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 we do.
And it's not cranberry and apple.
No, those. It's not organic. It's freshly squeezed juices.
Freshly squeezed juices.
Fresh. So I would not. I think that's right. But when you're 48, you really want to be more practical with your choice.
I think my money is more well spent in other places.
Yeah, it is. The other 59 people just don't want us there, first of all.
No.
And I don't even know who those people are. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not nude models you're eating food off of, for sure.
No.
I mean, these 60 people are probably not great looking folks.
No, you know, it's not, it's not your top Instagram influencers.
No, not for $300, maybe for like, $5,000.
Remember that? What was that? That Real Sex on HBO? When they had like the old people in the woods, like,
yeah,
with their balls hanging out, their waist,
right?
You know,
right.
It, you know,
right. You say, oh, geez, Real Sex, what a great show.
Yeah.
You turn it on.
It's like guy with a huge gut, can't even see his pecker. Yeah. Like,
this, right.
Geographic. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Because nuts tied to a stone.
Right. Probably why they don't have a show anymore.
Right.
Yeah, probably right.
Probably those so people. Speak. Those people are in the orgy.
Wallet Hub.
What?
This thing called Wallet Hub.
Wallet Hub?
That compared 100 largest cities across 39 key indicators to find out which places are home to the most kind-hearted people. So these are the kindest, most caring cities. Who do you think is the most caring city in the United States, you know, as a result of this survey?
Yeah, I would say someplace in the Midwest or someplace in the South, probably. So like Southern is supposed to be friendly.
Right.
The Midwest is supposed to be, you know, friendlier type of people. So,
right.
You know, big city, I'd go like maybe Chicago, something like that.
You're right. Second most caring city is Madison, Wisconsin. So you're right.
Okay.
Midwestish. The first, Boston, Massachusetts.
I mean, I'm from here.
Wow.
I'm from here.
Caring?
Caring wouldn't be the adjective I would describe Bostonians with.
No, caring is not. It's a little more tough love-ish. Caring is not what Boston, Massachusetts would be. Least caring was Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah, so that's in the South.
Yeah.
So those people are just, what are they saying to each other?
Yeah. Birmingham, Alabama, I think, is a little rugged. It's a little, obviously,
oh, yeah, it's
a little.
You've been there?
It's a little, right. I frequent Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah. Followed by Tulsa, Oklahoma, was also one of the least caring cities. And then a couple in California. But Boston, numero uno, is most caring city.
So there's been all over the internet, the interwebs, was people in Boston don't really say I love you very much.
They don't.
What they'd say is, I'm stopping at Dunk's. You want something?
Yes.
That's basically saying I love you from Boston. So that's the best we can do.
That's what I mean. It's sort of a tough, lovish kind of, you know, we'll make fun of you, but we make fun of you because we like you kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing.
It's, you know, you tell your friends, it's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, I care about you a lot. You know, you tease them.
Right. You tease them.
You don't say,
what are you, a fucking asshole?
Yeah. Exactly.
But that's like, hey, buddy. Yeah.
Hey, pal. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
I haven't seen you in a while.
You're an asshole.
What are you up to? Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off. Chance the Rapper, The Weeknd, your buddy, The Weeknd, and Dionne Warwick are teaming up for a sort of an unpredictable threesome, so to speak, teaming up for a new song. I guess Dionne Warwick reached out to Chance the Rapper on Twitter.
They're paying $300 a piece to be in that?
Yeah, that's a three-person orgy that I really don't want to be involved in. But Dionne Warwick actually reached out to Chance the Rapper on Twitter. I don't know if you saw this, and said, hey, Chance, rapper is in your name. Why do you feel like you have to put it? Why do you have to put it in your name?
Why do you feel like you have to tell people you're a rapper?
I thought it was brilliant.
It was.
Dionne Warwick and Chance the Rapper and The Weeknd are teaming up for a new song. I didn't realize Dionne Warwick must be...
she's got to be, 80?
Yeah, she's got to be 80. She may be, we'll have to look into Dionne Warwick. She might be on a three-song run.
Can you name three Dionne Warwick hits? I don't think I could. That's what friends are for.
That's
a,
yeah, but yeah.
But that,
that's
but that was a
compilation of people.
Right.
Do you know the way to San Jose? Do you know the way to San Jose?
That was her?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that was her.
Okay, I didn't know that.
And there's a couple others. Actually, I think there's one or two on my Spotify playlist.
Really?
Because I'm an eclectic fella when it comes to music taste. But I'll bring it to the table on New Year's Eve. I'll give you a couple of Dionne Warwick songs.
Was she on Solid Gold?
Solid Gold
with Marilyn
was hosted by Marilyn McCoo, right, from the Fifth Dimension, I believe is the group she was in. And Dionne Warwick was on Solid Gold quite a bit. Yes, that was actually a really popular show.
It was a popular show. I loved it. Solid Gold Dancers?
Solid Gold Dancers.
Get after it.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. There's a new sport that is having an incredible 2020. It's on the rise.
What is this?
It is pigeon racing.
What on earth?
Yes, pigeon racing is a new sport. I don't know if...
Is it going to be an Olympic sport? Like breakdancing?
But
not baseball?
The pigeons actually race forward. Like, is it one of those things where you put them down on the ground and they kind of like sit there for
a bit? So I actually read the story and I know how this works and it's kind of ridiculous. So what they do is they drive the pigeons far away. and then what they have to do is the pigeons have to fly home. And whoever makes it home first is the winning pigeon.
Really?
Yep.
So they have to kind of remember where they live. Where their habitat is.
Right.
Okay.
So that would be like, you know, if you took three guys from Boston and you drove them to New York City, you got them drunk somewhere, and then you made them walk home. And whoever got there first would be the winner. Honestly, I mean, that's a reality show right there that we should do.
We should. You know, a situation where there would never be a winner is if you took them like out to the Berkshires and don't get back.
Right.
They would have no idea where to begin.
No.
Like New York City, I guess you can go up 95. But if you took them out to some Leicester, Massachusetts or Belchertown or something, they have no fucking idea how to get back. But I think you're right. I think that's a great idea.
I think
that's like the amazing race, but it wouldn't be amazing.
It would be with drunk assholes.
Yeah, drunk asshole race. It'll have to be on cable or Netflix or something. But
yeah, Masshole race.
Yeah, drunken masshole.
So, I mean, we're spitballing.
Yeah, we are.
Give us a break.
Yeah, we'll come up with it. Astronomers, they've created a new Google Maps of the universe featuring a million previously undiscovered galaxies. There's a million undiscovered galaxies. You know what happened? Once they get rid of Pluto as a planet, the fucking whole horizon, everything just opened up.
It went to shit.
I mean, it's just now it's fair game. Everything is just all over the place. Taking Pluto out of there. Completely screwed.
All right, so I'm going to ask you this. Do you believe in aliens? You think there's aliens out there?
I don't believe there's aliens per se, no. I don't. I really don't. Do you?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think that there's aliens here, like on Earth.
Right, that they get here.
I don't necessarily think there's aliens here.
Right.
I mean, there's lots of UFO sightings and all that.
Because I don't think they would have the means to get here. Because we're talking millions of miles away.
Right, yeah. So I'm not sure that there's aliens on Earth. Necessarily. Right. But like you said, there's millions of other galaxies.
Yes.
So in millions of other galaxies, I feel like there's life form out there someplace. Because we're here. There was fucking dinosaurs before us, got wiped out by a fucking asteroid. So if another asteroid hits somewhere else and one of these other million galaxies, like that's a lot of galaxies for there not to be anything else out there.
Well, I guess that's true. If you look at that, I don't know what they look like or who they are.
No, that's what I mean. I mean, I'm saying is there's a pretty good chance there's something else out there because it's fucking vast.
They don't look like Mark and Mindy, probably.
No.
But they're not like human-like, probably.
No, they don't look like Predator.
Right, like, but they're something.
Yeah, okay. I think there's something out there.
All right, you know, I'll hold you to it. When they come up with something, then I'll say you had it first. Seth MacFarlane is going to reboot. You love the reboots.
I do. I'm a big, huge fan of people remaking old ideas.
Right. Well, here's a couple of, and you say that sarcastically.
I do.
But here's a couple of reboots I think you're going to get behind.
Okay.
One is Revenge of the Nerds with the Lucas Brothers. They're coming out with a reboot of Revenge of the Nerds, reviving the old 80s comedy at 20th Century Studios.
That's something that I could get behind, I think.
Keith and Kenny Lucas, identical twin brothers, best known for their scene-stealing roles on 22 Jump Street. Was that the sequel to 21 Jump Street?
Oh, so a remake and a remake with guys who already remade and remake?
Remake and a remake? And a remake?
We're remaking another remake that they've already remade before?
Maybe. Maybe. I think so. Okay. Here's one you're going to like even better. Okay? NBC is eyeing a return to Night Court.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm going to throw this out there right now.
Okay.
The Dawson's Creek didn't use I Don't Want to Wait. If Night Court doesn't use the original Night Court theme song, I am fucking boycotting the fuck out of that.
Yes, you are. They've got to use the same one. They have to use the same one.
It has to be there.
That's a great theme song.
It is tremendous.
It is a great theme song. And there's no Harry Anderson. He died a couple years ago,
right,
unfortunately. But John Larroquette as Dan Fielding.
Let's go.
Is back at it as a prosecutor. And Harry Anderson's real life daughter is the focus of the show.
I'm in. So let's do it.
You know what? John Larroquette was just fantastic.
One of the best roles ever.
One of the best
Dan Fielding, one of the best sitcom characters of all time.
Absolutely. So Night Court is getting rebooted. It's one of the real underrated sitcoms of all time. And I'll be honest with you, I'm just fucking fired up.
I'm excited about that.
Absolutely. You know who actually gets excited too is Johnny Knoxville and Steve-O of Jackass. They're shooting Jackass 4. They've already been hospitalized just 2 days into shooting. I haven't really watched Jackass really ever. I mean,
I've seen
like clips or here or there, but I don't sit down and watch Jackass because I really don't care. Like, I don't know. To me, it's a little too much for me, a little over the top for me.
I haven't seen it in a long time. And I did back in the day. I used to watch the show occasionally, and I saw the first movie. I don't think I saw anything after the first movie. But now, probably, I wouldn't be really that into it. But they did some funny stuff. I mean, there was some funny stuff there. But
they really pushed the envelope.
They do.
Someone could die.
One of the guys did die. I mean, I don't think it was from Jackass. But
he died.
I mean, he was a guy that was on Jackass that died, but he didn't die from doing things on Jackass.
Right. There's actually a Russian woman, 24-year-old Russian woman, who married a briefcase. I didn't even know how to segue that, so I just came out and said it.
Just came right out and said it.
It's called objectum sexual people. People who are attracted to objects after meeting the love of her life. Now, there are some objects that create some sexual activity, like vibrators or that.
Type. Okay.
You know what I mean?
I didn't know where you were going there.
I was going
I thought you were going to start professing your love for like a refrigerator or something.
No.
I saw your eyes
bug out of your head.
The whole falling in love with an object thing, like there's not, like she's 24 years old.
24, Russian. Decent looking.
She's a woman. So there's a guy out there for you. Basically, any woman, anywhere, doesn't matter what you look like, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter anything about you. You can get a partner. You can. Right. Any woman can get a partner.
Yes.
If you want another woman, if you want a man, if you want whatever you want.
That you're right. I remember the belief that it's easier, and I'm going to get grief for this. It's easier for women to find a partner than men.
Absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely.
And women will say, no, that's not true. It is 100% true. It is 1,000% true.
So this is the thing, though. They have to settle.
Right.
Not everybody can be with Denzel Washington.
Right. Right.
Not everybody can be with The Rock.
Right.
Not everybody can be with me.
Right.
But,
what a catch, ladies. Yeah. But that's, I hear you.
If a woman is willing to just say yes to whomever it is, anybody, you can get someone.
Yes.
If you're willing to lower your standards, you can get whoever you want.
You can.
A woman can decide yes or no. Yes. Yeah, a woman decides.
Right.
So a man will come up to a woman and say hey. Something, and then she'll be like,
and the
yes
woman decides.
Yeah, she says, no, I won't have sex with you ever.
Right. I'll have sex with you in an hour. Or, whatever.
Or whatever it is. Yeah. And they decide. They can get whoever they want, but as long as their standards are low.
Well, this woman's standards were a little bit lower than typical because she met her future husband, quotation fingers, back in August of 2015, after buying him at a hardware store as a prop for a photo shoot. She has named it Gideon. In a ceremony officiated by her friend, she tied the knot.
Did she literally tie a knot?
She tied something. I don't know. What do you do with a briefcase sexually?
Do you rub on me?
On the buckle?
On one of the edges?
On the handle?
On the corner?
On the handle? The buckle? That could be painful. I mean, sometimes you pinch yourself.
Do you think it's like a combination? Do you think it's like a combination briefcase? So sometimes like she closes it, locks it, it's like shutting her off.
It's like
it's saying, no,
it's like
no,
Russian
babe.
Roulette.
No, babe.
Yeah.
Not tonight, baby. Not tonight. I'm locked up.
I'm not opening myself up to you tonight.
I'm closed.
Oh, closed for business.
Closed for business.
Yeah.
Maybe she just likes having to like store things in.
Yeah, maybe she stores.
Maybe she has like lots of sex toys in the briefcase.
Maybe.
And
she's like, maybe that's her thing. Like, go to the briefcase.
Yeah.
I'm
married to the briefcase that has, my 14 vibrators in it.
I'm all about the briefcase. There was a man that was mauled to death recently, and we're very sad. He was mauled by his pet hippo, who he described as almost like a son to him. And his pet hippopotamus mauled him to death. And all I can think of is, we need a hippopotamus at our zoo.
We do.
We do.
Maybe that hippopotamus.
Right.
At that our particular zoo. One. That particular one, right, that will maul
we
people.
We need a murderer.
We need animals that are willing to maul people.
Right.
As maul his own father. Right. As maul his own father.
Right. But we're going to recruit that hippo.
That hippopotamus will be in our zoo.
Give me all the money. Creed frontman. Creed, one of your favorite groups, Creed.
With arms Creed. Wide open.
Scott Stapp. That was an excellent Scott Stapp impersonation. He is playing Frank Sinatra in a Ronald Reagan biopic. Okay. Terrific.
Frank Sinatra?
Frank Sinatra is being played by Scott Stapp. This must be a real low-budget film. It stars Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid is a former president. Will include a scene of Sinatra singing at the Ambassador Hotel's Coconut Grove Club in Hollywood.
Well, I mean, he's just going to lip sync, right? He's not going to sing like Luck Be a Lady or something like,
yeah,
Luck Be a Lady. Like, what the fuck is that?
I got you under my skin. No, I don't think so. Summer Wind. I don't know.
Summer Wind.
Summer Wind. Are they a 3-song run?
Oh, fuck
no.
I hope not.
I don't think so. I got your 3-song run right here. He will perform in a fundraiser in 1970, so they're reenacting the Reagan.
So he has like a bit part, so
bit.
It's going to be.
It's a scene. It's a scene. Where he's in Coconut Grove Club, and he's singing, I Did It My Way. I did it. The band As I Lay Dying.
Before you move on. As I Lay Dying, to me, sounds like a mosh pit band. And
I would say
I was talking to you about this earlier.
Yeah.
Why would someone go to a concert to get the fucking shit beat out of them? I don't understand it. And I never will. I mean, I get that you like music that's aggressive, but why would you go to a concert and then have to go to work next day with a black eye and like teeth missing because you got the crap beat out of you in a mosh pit?
I never got that whole. It's almost like a self-harm thing. Like, you're putting yourself in danger at a concert. I get the whole energy level and even like a little bit of the bouncing up and down with people. And it gets a little physical, but I don't get the whole, like, we're going to like try to hurt each other thing.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand that. Like, I get the jump up and down thing. Everybody's, hype. The music's aggressive. It's fast paced, whatever it is. But the whole, like, I'm going to elbow you in the face and we're going to run around in a circle and try to fucking.
If you're legit scared.
Yeah. You should not be scared at a concert. No. I don't feel like.
See, the type of music I listen to, like, that wouldn't happen at the Anita Baker concert or something. Like,
I
wouldn't be throwing bows in the mosh pit listening to Cut Up in the Rapture.
No.
I don't think that, or if I'm listening to like Michael McDonald.
Sweet Freedom probably wouldn't lead to elbows.
No, it wouldn't lead to.
Or a fractured throat.
Violence of any kind. Fractured throat. That's right. That was a Detroit Lions lineman had a fractured throat. I never heard of that. Have you?
No.
Fractured throat? Isn't that dangerous?
I would assume it's dangerous.
Can you die? Is that like a windpipe or larynx? Or what are you fracturing? The Adam's apple? Your throat? Are there bones in your throat?
Your Adam's apple, maybe.
Yeah, like
isn't that
cartilage?
Bone?
Really?
I don't know.
Is it?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Men only have it, right? Women don't have an Adam's apple, right?
Yeah.
I have one. Because I'm a man. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, as I lay dying. Because I'm a man. As I Lay Dying is a band. And their singer was hospitalized after set himself on fire. But
was that like a pyrotechnic
maybe
mishap?
It was. I don't know if it was that or if it was like he was on stage. And it was like that one of those, like Ozzy Osbourne used to like, didn't he like chew the
used
heads
to chew
off
the
puppies?
Heads off of off of
rat
a doves
or doves
like,
or
drink spit and stuff.
Yeah. Again, why is that entertaining?
It's not entertaining to me.
No, I mean you won't even eat medium rare meat.
No.
Why would you watch people?
I mean,
blood?
I would probably throw up in my mouth if I watched that happen.
You would. You know what I'd rather eat is a PB&J sandwich.
I love PB&J.
It's an all-American.
Sure.
Like I could eat eight right now.
Love me a PB&J sandwich.
Oh yeah, give me a little chunky peanut butter and like some raspberry jelly or strawberry jelly.
Sure.
Maybe even apple jelly. Oh, fucking day of the week.
I haven't had apple jelly.
Apple jelly is terrific. It's very underrated, apple jelly.
I like grape. I like grape was the go-to for everyone. Okay. But I like strawberry and raspberry.
I got to go raspberry and strawberry, but it has to be with the seeds. I don't like it without the seeds. I want the seeds in there.
Really?
Preserves. Yeah.
I like it more like jam.
Like jam?
Yeah.
Jamming on the one?
Jamming on the one. And smooth.
Smooth.
Like me.
Smooth. You are smooth.
Yeah. Like my peanut butter too, smooth.
Yeah, you do like your peanut butter. Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
I like it. I mean, I like the smooth, but I like the chunky too. So anyway, Scott Boras, the agent, sports agent, yep, compared Jackie Bradley Jr. to a PB&J because he's smooth in the field and such.
Well, what if it's chunky peanut butter?
Well, then he's not very smooth at all. Yeah. And I'm not smooth, so
that's describing him at the plate.
Yeah, when he hits two.
When he hits, yeah.
But anyway, which sandwich would best describe you think?
That was kind of out of left field.
Or you could go just like your signature sandwich.
Well, I mean, everybody knows my signature
sandwich. Yeah, chicken parm. Chicken parm. With the sauce.
Chicken parm, sauce and cheese.
Yeah.
People are going to say, what kind of sandwich would you have? Everybody would say that would be the sandwich that I would get.
Yes.
So I guess I would say that best describes me because that would be the one that I would get, you know, probably 9 times out of 10.
Right.
Maybe every once in a while I get a meatball or a roast steak beef or something. Steak and cheese. Yeah. Steak and cheese. But if I'm going to a place that has a good chicken parm sandwich, I'm getting that every time.
Every time. You know what? Growing up as a kid, my go-to was always tuna with pickles.
Really?
Tuna with pickles at Izzy's, tuna with pickles at Lena's, B&F, like every time. Tuna with pickles all the time when I was a kid up through high school, probably.
Now, is that sweet pickles or dill pickles? What are we talking
about? Dill. Got to go dill. I don't like the bread and butter, although they did have like the bread and butter pickles more at B&F, but their tuna was so good that I was okay with it. I'd rather go dill. I'd rather go a dill or a sour dill pickle. I don't mind bread and butter pickles, but I have to kind of be in the mood for them. Those are the sweet.
I'm not a big pickle guy at all, really.
You don't like pickles?
Not really.
Not the pickle? The pickle or pickles?
Not the pickle or the pickle or pickles.
Or your pickle or my pickle or whatever.
Not talking about pickles.
No.
If I was forced to eat a pickle, and I'll eat them, like McDonald's cheeseburgers have pickles on them.
Yeah.
Like I'm not taking them out.
Right.
So like those have dill pickles on them. So like I'll eat that, but I'm not going out of my way to eat.
You're not going
to
say like throw some pickles on my sandwich.
Yeah, don't throw pickles on my sandwich. Right.
I do like the banana peppers. I think those are fairly underrated, especially if you do like a meatball sub with banana peppers. Those are pretty friggin'
good. You know what the Chateau does is they will throw loose pickles in with a chicken parm sandwich.
Yes, they will.
And they're bread and butter pickles. They're sweet pickles and not dill pickles.
Right.
And it gets on the bread
and it
fucking pisses me off.
Right. It's just like randomly skewed along the plate. Like, why is that even?
Why?
Even a guy.
What are we doing?
Look any good?
What are we doing here?
I don't know. Why
now we have green pickle juice on a piece of scally bread.
And it doesn't even look like a presentation.
Fucking doing it. Do you hear me, the Chateau? Do you hear me?
It's just
I love you. I love you, but stop it.
Stop it. Because you're right. It does soggy the bread, like just enough.
Just enough to annoy me.
Yeah.
Just enough to get under my skin.
Chicken parm sub, why do you need fucking pickles?
Chicken parm and pickles do not go together.
No. I mean, if it was an Italian sub, okay. Like
Chick-fil-A, they throw the pickles on a regular chicken sandwich. Doesn't have sauce and cheese.
Right.
So fucking cut it out.
Right. I don't know. I don't even like that pickle when they put pickles on the, like Popeyes.
Popeyes
put
and pickles on the Chick-fil-A. They both do it, I think. I don't know.
That's fucking brutal.
I mean, I've never had either one.
Don't put anything on the thing that's going to take away from the flavor of what the base of this meal is. For instance.
Don't put anything on the thing that's going to take away from the flavor of the thing.
Of the thing. Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself.
That's what I'm saying.
I could have said right. So if you have like, we talked about this, like if you put a bunch of ketchup on your steak or whatever, so it only tastes like ketchup, you're an asshole. Like I have fish sticks. I don't like fish at all. So I'll have to smear it with ketchup. It's because I don't like fish sticks. I don't want to taste the fish sticks. Right? So that's why I'm doing it. So I don't get it. Like it just boggles my mind.
She just squirt a thing of ketchup in my mouth.
And then throw it in there. Just pass the ketchup.
Yeah.
Jesus. So anyway, Pete Davidson. This guy I don't get. Here's the one guy in I'm not saying the one guy, because there's a lot of people in Hollywood I don't get. This guy, I don't get anything about this dude. Like why he's not funny. He looks like he has some sort of kidney disease. I don't know. I don't get this guy at all. But he plans on getting all 100 plus of his tattoos removed. I hear it's painful.
I mean, he pulls a lot of
Pud.
I mean, very popular women.
He does. Like Ariana Grande. Was it Ariana Grande?
I mean, he dates like Ariana Grande models. Oh,
there was the
other, like,
there was a girl that was the woman after him. I can't remember who it is now. Another actress or singer or something.
There's something about that guy that women are drawn to. And I don't know if it's like
what it is. I can tell you right now that he's probably got a log.
I mean, he's not a Yule log. I mean, he's kind of a thin dude.
He is thin. I don't know if that does that matter. I don't know. I don't know what it is about him.
He looks like a drug addict.
He does.
I mean, he's got like massive
eyes are sunken in.
Yeah, massive bags under his eyes.
I don't see him being super talented.
Yeah. If you're gonna ask me like who's an attractive guy, I'm not saying Pete Davidson.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say like, boy, I really can't wait until I look like Pete Davidson.
If you were gonna say,
all right. Like, I know where you're going. Okay.
This is the guy that I want to be with.
Can we go? The guy I want to be like.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Yeah. Okay, we'll do that.
Sure. Matt McConaughey would be a guy that, you know, that I would be like, you know, looks and sort of.
I love how you said, obviously a guy. Obviously a guy what?
Obviously a guy I want to be with. Right. Not be a guy. Yeah. So it could be him. If I'm talking to someone, who hasn't seen me yet, you're like, who are you a lot like? I'd be like, oh, I'm like Matt McConaughey. Just don't fucking meet me in person. because that's going to be a major letdown.
Just don't ever meet me in person.
Right.
All right.
You
can't see me.
No, you can't see me. Nope. You don't want to see me. Who would you be?
Maybe Clooney.
Okay.
Oh, Clooney.
Clooney.
He's kind of a classy guy. He's got a good sense of humor.
Now he's got the salt and pepper thing.
Yeah,
and...
yeah. I mean, I got that going a little bit.
You do? Yeah.
I would go Clooney.
You go Clooney?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Typically, when you're saying, yeah, I look like Brad Pitt, like use Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, guys that you've used forever. Like, yeah, I look like Brad Pitt,
Yeah, but, I don't look like Brad Pitt.
No, I don't look like Brad Pitt.
I don't look like George Clooney either. I'm going to throw that
out there. And I certainly don't look like Matt McConaughey. So none of it's coming to fruition. What I do like is I do like myself a little Tropicana orange.
I do too.
I do. And if you make it into a mimosa, it's even better.
I like a good mimosa. You know what does not make a good mimosa? A friend Donna would know this.
Okay.
Sunny Delight does not.
Sunny Delight's awful. Isn't it the worst?
Does not make
ever?
For a good mimosa. You know why? Because it's not real juice.
It's not orange juice.
It's not orange juice. So it doesn't work.
No, it's not.
There's no acid.
Right.
It's
just sugar.
I mean, whatever it is. I don't even know what it is.
I don't know what it is either.
Pretend juice.
It's most certainly not orange juice.
And it's less than delightful.
See, I here's the thing about orange juice for me. And I consider myself, I don't drink a lot of it now, but I consider myself an orange juice connoisseur. And
as do I.
Oh, good. So I like orange juice that's freshly squeezed. I do not like orange juice from concentrate at all. So if it says from concentrate, it is not real orange juice to me.
I 100% agree with
you. So like Simply Orange, great.
Yep.
Tropicana, like great. The Natural,
sure.
Great. Those are great.
Yep.
But if it's from concentrate in any way, it tastes different. It's not the same.
It's not.
At all. So don't give me that concentrate orange juice. I hate it.
It's horseshit.
It is horseshit on a stick, no question. Or in a glass. Tropicana has apologized for suggesting that mimosas are the answer to pandemic parenting. So evidently in their ad, they insinuated that stressed out parents could just sit down and have a mimosa. And the hashtag was take a moment. You know what? I think it's brilliant.
I wouldn't have apologized.
Not at all.
I would have been like,
brilliant.
Let's fucking do it.
I mean, that's the meeting you want. You talk about the meetings you want to be in.
Yeah.
That's the meeting you want to be in. And you'd be in there and be like, let's fucking run with it.
Let's run. You know what? And everybody loves it. And they're talking about it now.
Right.
And then they say, apologize. No.
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 There'll be no apology coming.
No.
You know what will be coming? More champagne and more fresh squeezed orange juice.
Yes. More mimosas. I like myself a mimosa.
I do too.
In the morning.
You know what some people complain about with the orange juice is the pulp.
Yeah.
I don't. I like the pulp.
You like the pulp?
Put it in there. Let's do it.
A little bit of pulp if it's
fresh squeezed.
Yeah.
Like if you're buying it from the supermarket, you got to go pulp free.
But if it's freshly squeezed,
let's go.
Yeah.
I'm in.
That is good.
Let's do it.
Do you like the Bloody Mary?
I don't like Bloody Mary. I don't like tomatoes, so I don't like tomato juice, really.
A couple of years ago, met up with our buddy Derek, the degenerate gambler, out in Hyannis. And in the morning, had a Bloody Mary. He's a Bloody Mary guy.
Yeah.
So he says, hey, let's get a Bloody Mary. So, okay. And I don't typically drink Bloody Marys. We had this Bloody Mary with, I mean, it had fucking bacon.
Bacon?
It was like a meal. It had fucking everything in it. I mean, it was strong. But it was, I mean, it had bacon, and it had, of course, celery, and it had
so
all sorts of shit.
How do you drink that?
Olives and
how do you drink a drink with bacon and celery?
You had to take all the shit out of it.
How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, that was a challenge.
It sounds like work.
Yeah, it was. And it was heavy. I mean, it was a meal. It was heavy. But it was a different kind of, here's one thing I never understood. You ever notice this? Like my dad would do this. Like if you go on an airplane. Why do people tend to get tomato juice for a drink? You ever notice that? Like you go on an airplane, like, what would you like? Yeah, I'll get a tomato juice. You never buy tomato juice at the store. You never have it at the house. You never drink it any other day. But sometimes people, when they're on an airplane, will get tomato juice. Why?
If you're getting tomato juice on an airplane, it has to be for the purpose of having a Bloody Mary. It has to be. That's the only reason to do it.
Right.
Okay. What is your go-to drink on an airplane?
It's not Diet Coke because they'll be pissed at me.
They will be.
And everything. I usually get a ginger ale.
Okay.
I'm a big ginger ale guy, so I'll get a ginger ale on an airplane. I might get an orange juice if it's, but again, the concentrate thing. I might get a cranberry juice sometimes.
On an airplane, I'm either cranberry juice or Coke.
Coke, okay.
Either one.
Yeah, because
one
I
or the other. If it's like, if I need a little caffeine or if it's like end of the day or later in the day, I go Coke. But if it's like a morning flight or something, cranberry juice.
Cranberry juice, yeah, I go cranberry juice.
Because the orange juice on an airplane sucks from concentrate, so it's terrible.
It's in a can, a little can thing.
Terrible.
And it's awful. There was a man who sued his parents for getting rid of $29,000 worth of the porn he had, his collection. He won the lawsuit. They discarded $29,000 worth of films and magazines, porn related. He lived at their Grand Haven home in Michigan for 10 months after a divorce. Before moving to Muncie, Indiana,
he had $29,000
worth of films and magazines
in 10 months.
10 months. I mean, he.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
So, first of all, I don't know if this particular fella knows this, but you can get some free porn on the interwebs.
You can get some free freebies.
If you look around, yeah. I'm not saying I have,
right?
But if you look around,
it's right here,
it's out there.
Yeah, so there's your news for this week. We know that you appreciate it, and we appreciate you listening to it. We have Scott Schwartz coming up from A Christmas Story. He's coming up next, and we're going to talk about that great Christmas classic. We're happy to have him. It's coming up right after this.
Our special guest, we're really pleased to have Scott Schwartz with us, who is Flick in the great Christmas classic, A Christmas Story. Scott, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
You got it. Happy holidays, gang.
Yo, you too. You know, this is such a great, obviously great classic movie, 37th anniversary now. It's hard to believe, really. Just want to get sort of an idea of how, as a kid, you started in the business first.
I was attending a film club with my dad for a couple of years. From like 5 and a half, almost 6. And then after a couple of years, one of the other members said, you know, you're very outgoing. I'm doing a commercial. I'm producing a commercial. It's a couple of days down in Miami Beach. Do you think you would want to do that? Okay. Sounded like fun. All right, fine. Went and did it on the flight back. He was with us. He's like, you were great. You got to keep going. I have friends, casting directors, agents. You want to keep going? You let me know. And that's how it started.
Great. Well, that's fantastic. So Christmas Story is one of my all-time favorite Christmas movies. Did you think at the time that it would be the classic that it is today?
You know the lotto numbers? I mean, that's pretty much what it's become. It went from something that was a labor of love for Bob Clark to do. That MGM didn't even want to shoot. Nobody wanted to make it, mm-hmm. You know. So because of the popularity and box office of Porky's, it gave Bob some pull, and he used it to make Christmas Story before going into production for Porky's 2. You know, it was a small movie. There's no big stars. There's no special effects. There's no nothing crazy. Just a little wholesome, little fun movie.
And I guess, you know, simple and wholesome and fun is what sells, I guess, because 37 years later now and it's been in so many homes, millions of homes every year. And I know in our house, all my friends, I told a few of them that you'd be on and they were like, oh, geez, my favorite Christmas movie. I watch it all the time. So it's pretty, really pretty cool to be, you know, to have something that pretty much your whole life you've had this as something that's been such a
great thing. No, not really. remember, we did the movie the beginning of 83. It comes out at the end of 83.
Right.
And it comes out for 3 weeks, and then it goes into VHS.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's where it goes on to VHS.
Right.
And it sits there for the next 13 years. People are passing their copies. People are going, oh, this is a cute little movie. But it wasn't anything when Ted Turner was buying the MGM library. One of the last two films he bought was Christmas Story.
Wow.
You know, and it was a, I don't want to say a given, but almost like an instant, hey, we got to get our money back for this thing. Why don't we do a marathon? They did Wizard of Oz. It lasted 2 years. All right, fine. They did It's a Wonderful Life. It lasted 2 years. Okay, fine. Well, now they got Christmas Story. And if they run it for 2 years, they make back all the money they spent, you know, in advertising and revenue and all that. Right. Plus, all they had to do was run it for 2 years. It ran. It did okay. They decided, I would do it again. And the numbers went up. And they said, All right, we'll do it a third time. Well, the numbers just kept going up and got to the point where it's a cash cow. And Warner Brothers actually put out a statement that based on what they spent for the film, A Christmas Story is the most profitable film in the history of Warner Brothers.
Wow,
that's amazing. I know it's in my house every Christmas Eve. It's on.
As that's happening, Scott, so, you know, it's doing pretty well first year, second year, third year. So then when do you start getting the calls and the engagements and saying, okay, like now it's getting to be like pretty big?
By the 20th anniversary in 03, that's when it really started, because then NECA had bought the toy license, you know, to do all the merchandising. And, you know, that really started the, you know, Christmas Story, everything, you know. Then all of a sudden it was being recognized and put in the Library of Congress, and people were just loving it. It's 50 million, 60 million homes. I mean, it's just, it's gone someplace nobody could have predicted, you know, and unfortunately Bob, you know, is gone already, you know, a while. So he saw a little bit of it, but not the rest.
Sure.
Another movie you were in is also one of my favorite movies of all time, The Toy. What was it like to work with Richard Pryor and Jackie Gleason? I know you probably were with Richard a little bit more based on the scenes, but what was it like to work with those two legends?
Yeah, fantastic. Phenomenal. There's not enough adjectives I could use. I mean, I was a fan. I was a movie guy, you know, one of the movie clubs with my dad. So I was a movie and entertainment guy to begin with. So coming into it, I was not the giggly, stupid kid. Everybody told me Jackie Gleason hates to work with kids and animals. That's because they acted like kids and animals. I didn't act like a kid. I acted like an adult, you know, but I did impressions of him and I made him laugh. And I would talk to him about things that the typical 13 or 14 year old would not ask him. You know, I wanted to know about George M. Cohan, you know, who was the biggest Broadway guy for years and all that. And there's a statue, you know, in downtown Manhattan of George M. Cohan, who James Cagney played in Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just over the moon that I asked him about Georgie. That's how we called him. Oh, Georgie. Oh, we used to go to the pool halls and we used to do this. And I'm going, oh, my God, you know. But it was just the fact that I asked those kinds of questions, you know. And I mean, talking to him about The Hustler, you know, talking about The Honeymooners. But again, not the typical baloney things or whatever, you know. The Honeymooners was on 5 days a week on the local station in Baton Rouge while we were shooting. So every night, 11:30. I got to watch The Honeymooners. The next morning, I would come in and I would go over to him and start doing the show from the night before.
You're gonna kick out of that.
You know,
that's
and
awesome.
several times he actually came. He never got made up in the makeup trailer. His makeup guy did his makeup in his, you know, motorhome. And I just got made up in the regular, you know, makeup trailer. And several times he would come in with his makeup artist, sit down next to me while I'm getting my hair and makeup. And he'd be getting it. He'd say, hey, what show was on last night? And I would go right into it, you know.
I know that one of the other endeavors you had is sports memorabilia, movie memorabilia, that type of thing. And met you years ago, and I know you had maybe a story with your dad or something. So talk a little bit about that and what sort of – I know that Donruss and some other companies had some celebrity autograph contracts and things of that nature. But let's talk a little bit about that and your involvement in sports memorabilia, which we're a fan of.
Yeah. I've always been a sports fan, so it just kind of came naturally to do the next thing, and I did autographs and cards and all that kind of stuff. But I was sitting in my old apartment years ago, back in 06, and I'm just buying boxes of trading cards, and I'm getting the same people. You get an autograph of this guy, Brett Favre, Dan Marino, but whoever it was, and you get the same guy, whatever. And I said, why don't we do celebrities? I'm thinking, why not, you know? So I went first to Upper Deck, and then they did a little thing, but that's a whole other story entirely. But I went to Donruss. You know, and I said, hey, do an entertainment line. And they said, well, put a proposal together. Let's talk about this. It's interesting. Okay. So I put a proposal together and did a thing, you know, in front of the CEO and whatever, better than whatever. And I basically said what I just said, you know, why are you doing those same guys? Why not do this person? You know, people from the Brady Bunch or the, you know, the Honeymooners or whoever it was. Star Trek, Star Wars, all this stuff. Nobody was doing it. And they're like, okay. And 07 was the first Donruss Americana.
Right.
You know, and I probably did half of the autograph, you know, obtained half the autograph people for them. And they got the big people. They went to the agents and they got the Travoltas, you know. But right. I mean, I got Shatner and Nimoy and Mark Hamill and Gary Fisher and David Prowse. I mean, I got some fun, good people. Billy Dee Williams. I mean, you know, and it just kind of grew. So there was three different series of Americana, and they did one higher end version called Celebrity Cuts, which had pieces of like Marilyn Monroe and James Dean and Humphrey Bogart, you know, wardrobe and stuff like that. But I've always been a memorabilia guy.
Now, you're still in that now or?
Oh, sure. No. There's a company called Leaf. They do Leaf Pop Century.
Oh, yeah.
And I do obtain, you know, a couple here and a couple there, you know.
Nice.
You know, once they get in with the big agents, they have so many clients. You know, so it's like, you know, if you need to do 100 different people and, you know, four different agents have 20 people, well, there's 80 of the cards.
Yeah, right.
You know.
You know, Scott, we'll be watching. We watch it every year, and very busy time of year for you. And you just mentioned actually before we came on that you're doing the engagement with Christina Applegate, which I think is really cool. Where are you going next?
I will be at the Livingston Mall in Livingston, New Jersey. And then the 21st, 22nd, I'm at the Menlo Park Mall at the collectibles and toy shop in the mall there.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate you being on with us. You know, have a great holiday, and we wish you luck and be safe.
Thank you. Have a great holiday. Thank you very much. You guys be safe. Let's see. Hanukkah, and we got Kwanzaa.
That's
we got
right.
Christmas. We got whatever. Yeah. You know, yeah, just happy everything. That's and, good. You know, happy New Year as well. And stay merry and all that stuff. And the best we can.
You as well.
And thanks again to Scott Schwartz for joining us. Really had a fun time talking with him about A Christmas Story. Check it out again this year. It's one of Smitty's favorites.
It is.
He'll be checking that.
Love it.
That out again this year. What is on your, what's your big Christmas ticket item this year, Smitty? What are you looking for?
What am I looking for Christmas?
Yeah.
What I
peace and harmony?
So there's a couple things on my list that I would, that I really want.
Okay.
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 And I'm not going to get probably either one of them.
Okay.
Okay. One of them is a 2021 Kia Telluride.
Okay.
So I'm probably not going to get that.
No.
Usually don't see the cars with the big bows on them.
No. No, not
at my house.
Not.
Okay. So that's one that I would love.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is the Rode Podcaster Pro for this particular program.
So we can up the
production value and the quality of this program. Maybe take it on the road.
Yes.
Do some on location.
Some what do you call those? Some
remotes.
Remotes. That's what you call it.
Yeah.
Remote sportsmanship podcast. And when things start to settle down and people can be out and about together, I think we should do some.
Yeah, we're gonna hit the road. We're gonna take it on the road. We're gonna go to some bars, some restaurants. We're gonna do some five questions with two assholes with some complete strangers.
Yeah.
We're gonna ask some inappropriate questions.
Yes.
Probably get some inappropriate answers.
Yes. High level podcasting.
Yeah.
That's what we're gonna do.
Those are probably my two big ticket items. So if people want to chip in, you know, feel free.
What I'd like is just, you know, just joy and happiness and
for
all the land.
Oh, so you were talking about
I wasn't being materialistic.
You were talking about materialistic things,
right.
Like me.
Right.
Okay, so
I will.
Peace and love and harmony, first and foremost.
Yeah,
maybe end the COVID.
Yeah, end the COVID, definitely.
So here's the thing. Would you take the vaccine?
Yes.
What are these people saying that they won't take the vaccine?
I don't know, they're just afraid. I don't know what they're afraid of. I mean, we've all taken vaccines our whole lives. I mean, honestly, we have.
I'm mind boggled by that. People will... You know, somebody will be chewing gum and somebody will be like, oh, do you have a piece of gum? And they say no. And they say, they just give them the gum out of their mouth. They'll like eat that. They'll eat gum out of someone else's mouth, but they won't take a vaccine.
You'll accept the guy's tongue in your mouth, but he won't do the vaccine.
Yeah. I mean, people swapping bodily fluids, doing all these things, but you're not going to 60 person orgy, but you're not going to take a vaccine.
So yes, I would. And hopefully people will, and we can get back to, because we have two concerts to get to this summer. Black Crowes. And I have Doobie Brothers with Michael McDonald. First time in 30 years, they're back together. Really excited.
I'm going to find my way into that.
You should go to that one.
I'm going to find my way.
I know that Derek the Degenerate Gamble, I believe he's going to that one.
Is he?
I think he has tickets to that one, yeah.
I don't have any tickets. Do you think I can get in?
Five questions of two assholes with him.
We should do that.
Yeah, let's do
you think
that.
I can get back in? Do you think I can get into that concert?
Yeah, you can get into it. We can sneak in or something.
Well, I'm going to the Black Rose show.
Oh, I mean, Doobies?
Yeah. Michael McDonald. Yeah, I got to get in.
Just get some tickets. You can get them. I'm sure people.
I want to see. I think Hall & Oates is coming this summer too, right? Got to go to that
another,
one. Colin Hay's coming.
Colin Hay's coming. That's another ticket. I mean, those are some of the bucket list items are all this year. Genesis is.
Oh, yeah. They talked about Genesis. If that happens, we'll be there.
There. That one, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I could bang out four or five bucket list items.
You know what else we need to see sometime? And we got to get our good friend Chris Walzell on this. We got to see the Stones.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pricey.
It is a pricey ticket, but
yeah.
But it's one of those.
It's one of those.
That's one of the ones you got to see.
I wish I saw Queen with Freddie Mercury and some others.
I never saw Prince. I would have loved to have seen Prince.
Yeah, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, Michael Jackson. I tried to go. My mom said no. Yeah, I wanted to go to the Victory Tour when they had it at
your mom's listening now.
At Sullivan Stadium. Yeah. I wanted the red, you know, Thriller jacket, and I wanted to go.
The glove.
Yeah. I didn't want the glove. I just wanted the jacket. I wanted the jacket with the red jacket with the V,
the V
thing, whatever.
Yeah.
I wanted that, and I wanted to go to the I wanted to go to the Victory Tour show. Yeah, it's a little late.
That would be priceless. Yeah, we'll have to get you one for the New Year's Eve.
I'll wear it around.
Oh my God.
Let's do it.
We'll wear it for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I'll wear the glove and you wear the jacket. All right. Well, it's another great episode, episode 29. We'll be back next week
before
the big New Year's Eve. So that'll be coming up, our last episode of the season, coming up next week. We appreciate everybody listening. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Home for the holidays, I believe I've missed each and every face. Come on and play one easy, let's turn on every love light in the place. It's time I found myself totally surrounded in your circles. Oh, my friends, celebrate me home. Give me a number, please. Celebrate me home. Play me one more song that I'll always remember. I can recall whenever I find myself too all alone. I can sing the